Blog Talk Radio.
Don't let a temporary defeat become a life constant. Good morning, and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. This morning, I'm going to be speaking from the book of Joshua. I love the Joshua material. It is full of wonderful information about the spirit-filled life. It is filled with wonderful Christological types. It is filled with wisdom for you and I as we confront and deal with and process and engage the world, the flesh, and the devil. So this very important book, that is the book of Joshua, has three main divisions. In chapters 1 through 4, we have the entrance into the land, Eretz Israel. The land is an important theological doctrine in the Old Testament. Very important. Israel will be called the people of the land. And so that is a doctrine that we will discuss at a later time. Chapters 5 through 21, conquest of the land through many battles and conflicts. And then chapters 22 through 24, the perils and dangers in the land that we must guard against if we are to remain in the place of victory. And so the key message of Joshua is to help, once again, believers to understand what we must do in order to be successful in our spiritual lives. Now, once again, the name Joshua, as we have received it in Hebrew, is the name is Yeshua. And the name means Yahweh is salvation. And so this wonderful book is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1 of Joshua, we read that the land is given to the people of God, but must be possessed. The people of God are given title to the land. That is the gift of God. Possession, however, is the result of an obedient walk. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. People of God are told, you can have as much as you will take. And then beginning in verse 6 of chapter 1, we have the be attitudes of Joshua. Be-attitudes of Joshua. In chapter 6, we read, be strong and courageous, because you will... God, or Yahweh, is speaking to Joshua, because you will lead people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong. Again, the emphasis. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. In verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Then we have be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then in verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Again, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, or in other words, fear not, because possession of the land requires courage. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. These words are important to us as believing ones, as they were so very important to Joshua. There are some wonderful truths given in verse 8 that I like to bring out for you. And so verse 8 reads, do not let this book of the law depart. In Hebrew is mush. And this word means to let remove or to let go of one's prey. Do not let go of one's prey. Do not let it, and notice the words, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. And so you see the significance of the word of mush from the Hebrew, that is, do not let go of one's prey. This is very important. It is highly strategic that Joshua understand what he will face. And so here is his preparation. He is to prepare himself through the Word of God. He is to be an astute and alert and aware student of the Word of God. He is to faithfully intake the Word of God. We receive the Word of God as information or gnosis, or in other words, as intellectual information. It is by faith. It is transformed in our hearts into epignosis. It is complete or full knowledge. Epignosis is knowledge that is usable to us in the walk of faith. Information that is mere reading of the word, does not become epignosis by faith. We must believe the word. We must receive the word of God as it truly is. It is the word of God. We take on the word of God by faith. And so what a wonderful and dramatic word picture. Do not let go of your prey. Very powerful. And then the word meditate, in the same verse, meditate on it day and night, is hagah. And this word or verb means to growl, groan, means to muse. This word is used of the growl of a lion over his prey. And so this is a very significant verse, and we shall see in the coming chapters, particularly when we take a look at chapter 7, which has to do with the defeat at Ai, that something happened. Something went amiss. Now, God tells us that we're to study his word. And we're to capture this word as prey. In the parable of the sower in the New Testament, We read about the enemy that wants to come along and do heart surgery on the believer. The enemy wants to come along and cut out that word that has been sown so that the word does not take root in that life. And so this powerful word picture that is given to us in Joshua 8 is something that we would do well to remember and to think about. You and I live in the satanic world system. And what we're going to have in the book of Joshua is a picture of the world of Jericho, is a picture of the world. And how the Jericho will be shut up. No one is to go in and out. But Joshua will defeat Jericho by faith. This will all come out through the power of God. There will be conflict and victory. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. This is a frontier, and it will take courage. And so, once again, verse 8, Joshua is to meditate on the word of God day and night. And this is reminiscent of Psalm chapter 1. If he does what God has asked him to do, has said to him that he must do, that is, this is necessary in the nature of the case, he will be successful. That is, he will be prudent and he will wisely understand what he must do as he faces spiritual battles. They will not be the same. They will not be generic. Spiritual battles will be different. The enemy will come in a different way. There will be, again, the conflict with the world, flesh, and the devil. John says the same thing. And he talks about the enemy of the believing one. The world, that is the cosmos, the flesh, the sarks, and he is a devil. The name devil means the one who divides people for no reason. The diabolos means to row between or to row through. And so the spiritual battles that you and I face must be done in the power of God. Hence, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are Paul enjoins us. Paul tells us, he talks about the necessity of the armor of God. And Paul tells the believers in Ephesus that they must put on the armor of God. The verb tenses tell us that the word of God, that is the armor of God, must be put on. And nothing is ever said about taking off the armor of God. So this is a very powerful chapter. That is chapter 1. And in verse 8 is key. You will be successful. Notice again, beginning of verse 6, the Beatitudes. Be strong and courageous. Be strong, verse 7, and very courageous. And be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. That is, wisely understanding, consummately prudent. So, as we move to Joshua, in chapter 3, we have the crossing of the Jordan. Chapter 3 is filled with powerful Christological types. And in verse 1, we have the crossing over, which means the death to the old life. the God's people arrived at the Jordan River during its annual flood time. The riverbanks have overflowed. They will cross over during or at this impossible time. This is an impossible situation. But Joshua understood something very powerful because the word of God was sown in his heart. And so the crossing of the Jordan took a great deal of faith, because after doing so, there was no possibility of escape. Once in the land, they would have to face the enemy with their armies, chariots, and walled cities. An impossible situation, crossing over at flood time. And the people of God had to prepare themselves for this great event. Joshua 3:5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, or sanctify, literally, set apart as holy. That is a reality that we cannot overlook. We will sanctify ourselves for spiritual battle. Verse 5, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. Now, notice what happens. They're at the Jordan at flood stage. Verse 13 tells us, as soon as the priest who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. More amazing. And so we read, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan with their feet, and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. A faith reality. And the people of God will go in to prepare themselves to fight Jericho. There would be wonderful success at Jericho. In chapter 5, we have the circumcision at Gilgal that has very powerful symbolism. We will not go in that today because I want to get to chapter 7. There was great success, as you well know, at Jericho. God's people won a great victory. And chapter 6, verse 27, we read, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. In chapter 7, something else happens. But the Israelites, chapter 7, verse 1, acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Do not weary all the people, for only a few Only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. In verse 3, we have the arrogance of people. They meet defeat, verse 5. And then they are discouraged. Joshua is dejected. In verse 6, we read, and Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remained there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. Now they have hit that wall. And notice something different is going on within the community. God had told them what they must do. They were, what, Joshua 1:8. Do not let the word depart. That is, don't let go of your prey, word of God's primary. Meditate on it as a lion who growls over his prey. Meditate on it day and night. In chapter 7, an assumption is made. Due to a superficial reconnaissance. Now, here we have a picture of those inward problems arising out of our own lust for that which God says we cannot and must not have. Those inward problems are revealed here because they are not ready for AI, and yet they think we are ready for AI. We must beware of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit for a fall. And how appropriate it is for you and I to see this. There must be that constancy toward the word. And this is a very real defeat, and a very real tragedy has come into the community. Notice what happens to Joshua. Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down. In verse 7, Joshua goes before the Lord, and he says, Lord, why? Why did you, notice the words, notice what he's going to say, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Notice the self-pity. A temporary defeat brings out what is going on in us. Amen? We get to see ourselves. We get to see our default attitude. We get to see ourselves. We may not like what we see. Lord, why did you ever bring us here? Lord, why did you ever bring me here? I learned a long time ago that God does not bring us to, not to lead us through. But see the emotions. Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down. Of course, this is a very poignant defeat. Of course, it hurt. Lord, why? And we see that in verse 7. Lord, why? Why did you ever bring us here? Notice, he goes on. If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. If only. And so we know these words. You may circle them in your Bible. Or why? And if only. So God hears this pity party that is going on. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your own great name? Wow, this is deep. And so God lets Joshua have his pity party, and then God steps in. Very interesting, God's therapeutic approach with regard to this situation. Verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? God says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Notice the results of sin. One, God's people cannot stand. Two, they turn their backs. Three, they run. And four, God will not be with them. The devoted thing must be removed. And if the devoted thing is not removed, then God's people will have the power. The power will not be there. See, Achan had committed a sin that he believed was hidden. Psalm 90 tells us that there are no hidden sins. And we know that hidden sins are sins that we think are hidden or open scandal in heaven. So our hidden sins do not have hidden results. You must understand that. Our hidden sins do not have hidden results. And we suffer because our hidden sins not only impacts our lives, but those within our environment. So God tells his people, God tells Joshua, the thing must be removed. Or else there will be no power for you. And you will not be able to meet your enemies. And you will be swallowed up. And so I love God's approach. God says, stand up. Stand up. Don't let a temporary defeat become a life constant. Don't be defined by that one incident of, or rather learn from it, glean from it. It is an occasion of learning. It is a wonderful teaching event. Wise, see what went wrong and correct what went wrong. And then they are able to move on and still progress and find success in their lives. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.